for the break, and in advance, next week I'm going to be away also, so I apologize for this staccato tev of these couple of weeks. Then in Mitzvah afterwards, it's going to settle back down into the regular Mahalach. Every night the Baruch Hashem this year in some place, so if I have to be somewhere, I'm going to miss something, so I apologize. This happens to be one of my favorite ones, but that's how it is. We were learning this a piece from the Teres Amos from Ablei Belager, Parashas Toldos, which deals with one of the major themes in all of Ablei Belager's writings, the subject of Kedushas HaBris, of the sanctity of the covenant. And I wanted to begin with this because there's a tremendous amount of misunderstanding when one studies the writings of Reb Leibele in particular and Rabbi Nachman regarding the subject of Kedushas HaBris, and people think that it's only a question of, the subject dealing with sexual purity. And really what we're learning is that it goes way, way beyond that. What Kedushas HaBris, the sanctity of the covenant, what it means in the writings of the Tzaddik of Reb Leibele is much more than merely a question of self-control in that area of relationship between men and women. Although certainly that's something that is affected very much by, it's a major part of the whole subject of Kedushas HaBris, but that's not all that it is. So we were learning, just to review for a moment, we were learning this piece from the beginning of Parashas Toldos. It started on the second page of this and continued on the third page of the handout, where Reb Leibele is explaining the interesting beginning of Parshas Toldos, where it says Ve'ela Toldos Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram Hoyledes Yitzchak, where the Torah seems to be repeating itself. It says this is the generation, the offspring of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. Obviously, if Avram is the son of Yitzchak, if Yitzchak is the son of Avram, obviously Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. Why is it necessary to say that? So Reb Leibele develops this very beautiful and very profound explanation, where he discusses basically the history of Kedushas Yisrael, the sanctity of the Jewish people. And this is what Kedushas HaBris means to Reb Leibele. Kedushas HaBris means, as we discussed, and there's no time obviously to go over this entire piece, we spent an hour on it last time, on the first part of this piece, that Reb Leibele says that we find in the Zohar HaKadosh that this midah, this quality of bris, which is called yesod, foundation, which is the quality of the tzaddik, so this, in the Zohar, is this midah of Kedushas HaBris, of yesod, is in the Zohar, referred to as the source of all blessings. All bracha comes from the sixth. This is the sixth parasha. And all bracha comes from that quality that is called yesod. Yesod meaning, which what Leibele says, if you look there on the third page of what you have, the third line, Rosa de Bris Kayoma Kadisha, Ashu Inyan Kiyam HaNitzchi La'ol Me'ad. So you recall that a covenant means that which ensures that a relationship is going to continue forever. That a relationship is not going to be interrupted. That the relationship should go on till the end. That's why a covenant is made, as we discussed last time. A covenant is made between two people who love each other to guarantee that this understanding, this love that we have for each other is something that's going to have a kiyum nitzchi. It's going to be forever. We're not going to allow anything to get in the way of this bris, of this love, of this covenant. Therefore, the question of the existence of the Jewish people, the question of the existence of the Jewish people as a people that will survive till the end of time, as a people, as a nation that will survive throughout all of the difficulties of history that are standing in the way, that are attempting to disrupt the flow of the covenant between the Jewish people and Hashem, that Kiyum HaNitzchi, that eternal bond that will ensure the continuity of our people and their relationship with Hashem, is dependent upon this bris. Therefore, Avraham Avinu was the one who gave birth. Shaholid es Yitzchak means that it's because Avram entered into this bris, into this covenant, And the covenant was symbolically engraved upon the flesh of Avraham, as we continue in his way. It was engraved, as I explained last time, it was engraved upon that part of the tzaddik that is responsible for continuity, right? The bris, from which procreation, from which reproduction will be able to take place through the Kedushas HaBris. Avram Holidus Yitzchak, the tzaddik explained, Reb Leibel explained, that Avraham gave through his bris, Avram Avinu gave the ability, empowered Yitzchak, who is the first one who was born with the Kedushas HaBris on the eighth day, right? Who came from a father who already had a bris milah. That Avram Holidus Yitzchak, right? That's the last two lines on the first column of the third page. Ayidezei says, Holid hu lashon ma'afil ha'inish, Ayidei shenichnas barozit the bris, sh'oz nishtalim lihikari shmo Avraham. Avram's name became completed, Avraham, when he received the bris. Ayidezei hifil koyach ha'holada hazoz b'Yitzchak. He now gave this ability. He gave this ability to Yitzchak Avinu to continue with the covenant, to go further. Because as we saw with Noah, and as we saw even with Avram, and even with Yitzchak, that there were imperfections, not all of Noah's children were able to continue with the covenant. And with the beginning, with Eila told us Noah, it's only through shame. And even with Avram had Yishmael, and Yitzchak would also have an Esav. It's only when this koach would be given to Yitzchak to give birth, Yolides Yaakov, Shehu HaKiyum HaGomer LaOmeyad, and it's through Yaakov Avinu that the Jewish people will have a Kiyum, will have an existence that will be forever. The Jewish people who are Am Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu's children were all pure and were all holy, and we have a Kiyum, we have this Nitzchias, this eternal existence, because of the bris that was given from Avram to Yitzchak, and from Yitzchak to Yaakov, and so it continues. Now we're on the left-hand column there on page 3. V'al pizeh nuchel avar gam b'inyin ha-be'eris. And now we can understand one of the deepest subjects in all of Torah, which is the mystery of the digging of the wells, which there's very little else that we see Yitzchak Avinu doing in Torah, in terms of Yitzchak actively doing something. Otherwise, Yitzchak seems to be a passive spectator. He's taken to the Akedah. He's bound upon the altar, right? The brachas are taken from Yitzchak. He's blind. He doesn't participate in the events of this world. But there is one thing that we find Yitzchak is very much involved in, and that's the digging of the wells, and the naming of the wells. And the Torah uses up a great deal of space on this subject of the wells, of the Be'eros. So what does that mean? The Rebbe says, we can now begin to understand the subject of the digging of the wells. Certainly this is not a simple matter. Avraham Avinu was the one who began digging the wells. The kol sorei doro hiskanu bo bezeh, and it seems that all of the noblemen, all of the world leaders of that time were jealous, were going meshuggah over these wells. Which when you read Chumash, when you begin to read Chumash, you wonder, like, what is it? So dig another one. What is it that they're so meshuggah with these wells? Avinu digs a well, and the plishtim are going crazy. Everybody's going crazy with the wells. So make another well. If you see Avinu Avinu made a nice well, so dig another one. What is it that everybody's mekaneh, everybody's so jealous about these wells? Well, ma inyona b'sidra hazos, and what connection do they have davka to the sixth sedra, which remember in Reb Leibel's writings, which he received from his Rebbe, the number of the parasha is very significant. So the fact that told us is the sixth parasha indicates that it's connected to the yisod, to that quality of tzaddik, which is bris, which is the ability to continue, right? The bris mila means the covenant of the flesh, the covenant that the Jewish people have with Hashem to be able to reproduce more and more Jews till the end of time, who are members of this community of the covenant of the emuna of faith. So he says, "Ach b'dvareinu hanal yesh loimer." We could explain this. Kimidas hayisod nikram abu debira kiyumakor hashefa. We already learned that this quality that's called yisod, that is called bris, this is referred to in the Zohar as the source of all blessings, of all shefa. It's the makor habracha, since we understand that is through the relationship between a man and a woman that they can reproduce and bring more and more blessing, and they can have more children. So this bracha of the bris means the ability to draw into the world, to bring into life more and more of a good thing, more bracha. It's through this covenant of Yisod that the Jewish people are able to have a kiyum nitzchi, that they're able to continue existing till the end of time. There's a very interesting expression that's found in the Mishnah in Parah and in Chazal in a number of places, and I've spoken about this in Shiurim on Shabbos over the years. There's an expression in Chazal for a river that stops flowing, for a river that's dried up, for a river that doesn't make it. It's called a nahar or mayim kozvim, mechazvim, which literally means, how do you translate?
Lying,
cheating. Waters that are lying. In other words, what does it mean that they're cheating, that they're lying? It means that the river, seems to be presenting itself as something that's going to flow from the beginning till the end. It's going to make it to the sea. All rivers are supposed to flow. All the naharas are supposed to return to the sea. So it seems you would expect that it's going to achieve its stated goal. The reason that a river that doesn't make it is called Mayim Kozim or Mechazvim, they are cheater. The river is a liar. It's a cheater. It presented itself as something that's going to endure, and it doesn't. Just like in a relationship, a husband and wife make a bris under the chuppah that they're going to be faithful to each other, and that they're going to remain attached to each other in the kedusha of that, and the holiness and the sanctity of that relationship. And God forbid, if somebody is unfaithful, he's Mechazev, or she is Mechazeves. That means that she didn't make it to the end. She went off the path, or he went off the path. So the river that doesn't go, that's cold water, mayim that's dishonest. That's why k'maytze mayim asher lo yechozvu meimav. When you have a wellspring where the waters are constantly flowing, when you have a river where the river continues along its path, unfazed by all of the stones, the rocks, the obstructions that are placed in the path of the water, then that water is described in Tanakh as mayim asher lo yechazvu meimav. The water is not lying. The water is faithful water. V'zeh hoya ha'inyin sha'avrom avinu olav ha'sholom chafar u'matzo ha'be'eros. This is the deeper significance of Avraham and later on his son digging these wells, excavating, discovering these wells. Shehu hoya harishon his galos ha'mekor. He was the first one to uncover the living spring of water, because he is the first one to have the bris milah. He entered into the covenant. And the covenant means a river that will flow till the end of time. That's what a covenant means. Therefore, Avram Avinu, of course, Avram means chesed, and chesed means Chesed is always symbolized by mayim, by water, right? Chesed means overflowing, outgoing. It means continuing. The Baal Chesed, the Indian of Chesed is to see to it that what was initiated will be able to continue, will be able to go. So Avraham Avinu is the one who discovers the flowing water. He was the one that discovered the key, the mystery to the eternity of the Jewish people. Well, be'emes, in truth, kol yemei chaya Avram lahoye be'avshar v'shiye shum shlita la'hipuch l'chasos or hazeh. And because of the greatness of Avram, as long as he was alive, nothing could obstruct those waters. Therefore, the Torah tells us, and there are indications in ancient records and archaeology as well, that the leaders of the world were jealous of Avram. He was famous throughout the Eastern world as the one who had excavated the wells. And everybody was going to sugar over these wells. And while he was alive, the waters could not be obstructed. Although it's clear that there were efforts to do this, and that the entire world was fighting for control of these wells. But as long as Avram was alive, they could not cover the wells. They couldn't conceal them. Omnam achrei mos Avram. The question is now, what's going to happen after the death of Avram? Is this going to continue? So after he died, choshva haplishtim, the plishtim thought, ki chas v'sholom posak koach kedushas Avram. The plishtim rejoiced, because the plishtim are in the business of evil. The plishtim are in the business of piercing that, of obstructing, of holding back that river. That's why it's brought down in the Svarim. Rabbi Leibler discussed this in many places, that even the word plishtim comes from the word that we're familiar with in halacha, which is mefulash. Mefulash means something that cuts through. It's something that cuts through, that divides. So the plishtim believed that although Avram initiated this great change in history, that he was the founder of something spectacular, after he died, they felt it was possible to stop flowing waters, that holiness would not continue, and therefore evil will have a foothold, and that there will not be this nation that will develop, that will continue through Avram Avinu. And now, while he was alive, they couldn't do anything. But after Avram Avinu died, there began this counter-revolution against what Avram Avinu had started in the world. And their darkness began, the darkness of the plishtim, of the ones who obstruct and divide, that darkness began to creep into the world. Therefore, what do we find? That physically in this world, sosmu es habeiros, that the plishtim were able to fill all of the wells that were excavated, the plishtim were able to fill with dirt. They were able to fill the wells, to cover the wells, to stop the flowing water. So it seemed. It seemed that way. Ach be'emes, in truth. Koach ha-kedush lo posak klal. The power of holiness did not stop at all. Upulosu shel Avram Avinu kayim lad. And what Avram Avinu began was really and truly a bris that would never end. Waters that would be faithful and loyal till the end of time. And we're the ones that testify to that. Here we are. At the end of time. No other people can claim what we can claim. That we're still here. After all the descendants of Avram Avinu, despite all of the efforts of all of the plishtim throughout history to shut up the wells of Avram, the Jewish people are still here. And the rest of the world can't figure it out. Kinimenu nolad Yitzchak. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. Shemabua debira rosa debris nikra al shmo. And this overflowing spring, the mystery of the covenant, is named after Yitzchak. The first one who was given the bris on the eighth day. Avram holiness Yitzchak. Avram gave birth to the possibility, the potential of the bris of Yitzchak. V'zehu v'yeshev Yitzchak v'yachpor es be'eros hamayim ashechafru. V'yoshev Yitzchak v'yachpor es be'eros hamayim ashechafru b'mei Avram. And that's why all we see Yitzchak doing in the Torah is Yitzchak returns. And Yitzchak's name means to laugh, and he laughs at the world. The one who laughs more than anybody in history is Yitzchak, because Yitzchak is the one who is able to return when the world thinks that it's been successful in stopping the flowing waters of Avram. Yitzchak returns and he re-excavates the wells and he reveals that never ever can they be stopped. That's what every tzaddik does. Every tzaddik does that. Every tzaddik is a reminder that the wells of Avram Avinu are not dry, that they continue. Hainu she Yitzchak gam hu, himtzi oso hezgalus mamish. Yitzchak revealed the exact same revelation of those wells, shahoy v'mei Avram, that were in the days of Avram. V'yistamum plishtim achrei mos Avram. And after Avram died, it seemed the plishtim were able to close those wells. Hainu kanal, shekol yemei chayei Avram lo hayishum esgabus lahipach. All the days of Avram, they could not overcome his kedusha, his holiness. Go to after the brackets, like 10 lines down. V'zeu v'yistam unplishtim achrei mos Avram. After Avram died, they were able to close the well. Hainu kanal sha'acha moise his chilul his gaber ulechasus ala kedusha. After the death of Avram, the power of the plishtim began to increase, and they were concealing the holiness from this world. Avo be'emes lo polu bezek klum. In truth, however, they were not successful at all. just like all of the Rishayim in history, including Hitler Yimach Shemo, and what will be revealed through Arafat as well, that none of them were matzliach in any way to prevent the flowing waters of Avram Avinu from continuing to the end of time. And the powerful waters of Avram Avinu were in their place, and all of with besokpo v'chazko, with all of its great energy and force. The concealment was only only from above. It appeared that there was a concealment. In other words, when we would have gone after the death of Avram, we would have surveyed Eretz Yisrael, and we would have searched for the places that Avram Avinu had excavated. We wouldn't have seen them, because they were covered by dirt. But only the surface was covered. That's why he brings the Targum. Ketargum vitaminun plishtoi. That the plishtim were able to hide the wells. Never to dry them up, not to stop them. Just to hide them. And that's all that impurity can ever do to a Jew. Till the end of time. All that impurity can accomplish with a Jew. Makes no difference if you see that he doesn't keep Shabbos, if he eats treif, God forbid. All that impurity can accomplish in the life of a Jew is to conceal holiness, never to dry up holiness. It cannot be. Ever since Avram gave birth to Yitzchak, holiness remains. It's just a question of how concealed and how covered it is. Haynu shakdusha hoy lefisha bebchinas hatmona. That temporarily, the kedusha of the bris of the covenant was covered, was concealed. But the powerful waters were rumbling beneath the covering in all of their great energy. With not only that, but the waters were gathering more energy. And this is what he's going to talk about in the second half of the piece. Our enemies who are seeking to dry up the waters of Avram, not only are they not successful, but through their efforts, the wellsprings of the Jewish people become even stronger. And this is the irony, this is the whole story of Purim. Asher yishtatu ha'yehudim hema b'saneihem. Everything that Haman wanted to do, everything that the enemy is seeking to accomplish, adarabah, although temporarily it certainly is painful, and temporarily the wellsprings of the Jewish people become covered. But what happens during the time of the concealment is that since the waters are stuffed, the wellsprings are closed, are stuffed. It's like the water of the river running into the dam. So it's held back. It's held back. But once the opportunity will come, the moment will arrive for it to be open. So then the waters will rush. Not only will it be the normal way of the bris being revealed, but the waters that were held back for so long now have the ability to explode into reality. That's why the Seer of Lublin used to say, the Chayzer of Lublin used to say, when there was a Jew that had a lot of tzaras, and feltnish kan tzaras, you know, there's no lack of tzaras. So there was a Jew who had a lot of tzaras, and this Jew had a good day. So he had a good day, like in the midst of his tzaras, because he had a good day. That day he made a couple of rubles, right? So the Seer used to say, if a hole was made already in the dam, you better go now, daven, pour your kishkes out. Because if there was already a hole that was made and the waters are beginning to make their way through that opening in the dam, it's a siman that you have now a shas kosher. And not only can you have brach in your life, but you can have brach in an abnormal way. Because all of the waters that were being held back haven't disappeared. It's just been pushing against that dam. Whatever the hest upon him is, why that Jew has to go through that, that's not for now. But that wall has been placed there by the plishtim. Whether it's plishtim from the outside or the little plishtim inside, there's a wall. Once the wall has been penetrated, once something has happened, so then there could be an unbelievable rush of water. So that's what the Rebbe of Leibler says here. V'yadua, the last five lines, six lines, V'yadua derech ha'mayon, it is known. The way that it works with a wellspring. he says, "V'yadu derech hamayan k'shemechasno." So when you cover it up, af beribo rerovus midas ofer, even with piles and piles and of dirt, you cover up this wellspring. V'hemshech hayomim, over time, k'shemizgaber hamayan, as the waters are gathering force, yishto v'yavre kol ha'ofer shalav, it'll eventually will blow away and wash away all the filth, the dirt that was covering it. And all the dirt will be like it didn't, like it never was. And it's more than that. He says, Kain gam kan hamayan hayi besokfo. Even when the Jewish people are going through a period of concealment, even when there's a time when the wellspring of Avraham Avinu appears to be covered by the filth of the Plishtim. And it's the same thing in the life of an individual Jew. Really, the waters are there all along. They're there the whole time. Right? So you could say one word. You could say one good word. he could have one memory, or he could see one Jew that reminds him of his grandfather. And all of a sudden, it's not pshat that he starts again from Aleph, it's like an explosion. It explodes. He explodes back into Yiddishkeit. Umemeli says, Kshenizgabra Aydekoa Kedushas Yitzchak. Now that's the white page, right? The white page, that's where it continues. It should say Yitzchak, the first word, right? Page, it says 28 on it? Okay. When the Kedusha of Yitzchak was revealed, now Yitzchak is that powerful energy of what? Of Gevurah. It's the Gevurah of Yitzchak, the energy, the force of Yitzchak. When Yitzchak Avinu came into the world, remember Yitzchak was born of the Bris of Avram. Avram Hoylid is Yitzchak. So the Plishtim were laughing because they thought that it was all finished. And Yitzchak's name means to laugh, right? So when the energy of Yitzchak was revealed, Shotav V'Avar is Kol Stimos Ahefach. It was able to wash away all that was shut up, that was closed, that was sealed by the opposing force of tumah, of impurity. And the very same revelation of Kedusha of holiness that was in the days of Avraham Avinu were revealed once again. That's what's going to happen to us with the Mashiach also. It's going to happen to us in the most powerful way of all. And we can't imagine, how could we ever be like those people, like our ancestors? Shavim Avram, Leos Kaim Laat, and it's going to continue forever. Turns out, Rabbi Leibler says, that the Plishtim did us the biggest favor by closing up the Beirus. Even though temporarily it caused quite a deal of pain and frustration, but ultimately, the Plishtim did us a great favor. Sometimes Reb Leibler says you seal the wellspring so that what? In order that the place where the water is down below should clean out. That the water should have greater force energy to clean out the place where it comes from. That it should make a good rinse, should flush out all the filth from where it comes. But if you would let the water continue in its path, then it would have gone on like in a certain way, and it could have gone on in a very sweet and nice and perhaps mediocre way. But when the place is closed and the water is not permitted to go forward, then what happens instead is that it cleanses and flushes out with the turbulence and the rushing of the waters beneath the surface, everything is cleansed. And then the waters are finally released. But now it spits out all of the filth, and then the waters of Kedusha rush forward into the world. Ulagarish mi meim of harefish vahatit leman yizgaber yoyser, that all of the filth and the dirt is cleared away and the waters are stronger than ever. V'ha'inyin hazeh yeshno b'chol nefesh mi Yisrael. Now Reb Leibler turns to each and every Jew, as he does in all of his Torahs, to give chizuk. And we discussed this when we spoke about his life, that in all the students of the Baal Shem Tov, you will hardly find as much chizuk as you see in the writings of this tzaddik of Reb Leibler. V'inyin hazeh, yeish noy b'chol nefesh miYisrael. We find this in the life of every Jew. Me'eis hivoldo b'chol yimei chayav, from the time that he's born and throughout the days of his life. Kasher einenu haraos, as we see with our own eyes. Sheha'odam nivra im or lahamachasa ala atar, that man comes into this world with his holiness closed in and shut. because the foreskin covers the flowing waters of the bris, right? His bris is covered. He comes into the world with the bris of Avraham Avinu being concealed. It's held back. The Soifel HaHachris, and the Moel comes on the eighth day, or Jack Jedwab, on the eighth day, and is Koyres the bris, and removes the covering. And we know that the number eight always means something which transcends all of nature. It goes beyond. It's something which can't be held back. Eight means eternal. Eight means forever. That's why the whole meaning of Hanukkah, which I'll talk about a little bit at the end, but eight means it nothing can stop it. That's what eight means. You can't get in its way. Seven is nature. With seven, there are obstructions. But eight, nothing can get in the way. It means forever. So he says, Mechalzais, nevertheless, betchila niris kimiskaberis lachasas ala Torah kedusha. When you look at the baby comes out, it's Rachmanis, the kedusha of the bris, that sign of continuity, which is the bris milah, is covered. This means that it looks to you like Avraham Avinu's finished. Nothing's happening over here. How come he wasn't born like a Yitzchak, like a Yankov Avinu? There's the Orla. Now you know that the Plishtim, of course, in the entire Tanakh, there are no people that are as identified with the foreskin as the Plishtim. And you recall that throughout Tanakh, and particularly David HaMelech, who's very connected to this because of Yesod HaMalchus, which I don't want to go into right now, but you recall that when David HaMelech was mocking, who? Goliath. You remember that the way that the greatest insult that David HaMelech could find for the Plishtim is, and for Goliath, was an Orel, uncircumcised. That's all. That's one word. You are an Orel, and the Jewish people are the sons or the children of the living God. We are alive, and you are closed. You have no continuity. You are an Orel. You're uncircumcised. And that means even if a non-Jew gets a circumcision, it doesn't make a difference. We saw that last week. He has a din. He's still called uncircumcised. He's an Orel. Therefore, yeah, that's no, just the white one. Yeah. Therefore, he says, He says, Betchil, in the beginning, it looks like, when you look at the child at the beginning, it looks like, God forbid, like the Plishtim, like Goliath is successful. It looks like Avraham Avinu is not going to continue. What do you mean? You have here a little baby, and the baby is, the bris is covered. He says, really, all of this is really preparing the baby for the bris milah. Lamantis Gabra Chaka Hakadusha B'yeses Eis, and in that child, from the time that neshama entered into that body inside the mother's womb, that holiness is gathering force. It's gathering force and energy. And the baby comes to the world with that energy held back. And on the eighth day, which means eternity, which means kiyum lanetzach, forever. On the eighth day, that kedusha is unleashed. And the foreskin of the plishtim, of the ones who are closing the wells, the ones who are shutting up holiness, is removed from the baby. And these were the actions of our holy ancestors. The chafiras habeiros. This is what they were doing when they were digging the wells. This wasn't stam. This is what was happening when they were digging the wells. Bitchilosan vehizdamnus stimas aplishtim. You see that what our ancestors went through. That they began to excavate and then the plishtim, the arelin, the uncircumcised, covered up the well. Even though Avraham Avinu revealed the bris, it was covered then by the plishtim, which means the arelim, the uncircumcised, the ones who conceal and close up kedusha. So Yitzchak had to come once again and to re-excavate these wells. Hayasim labanim. This is a sign. This is the path of all of their children. That in the beginning, a Jew comes into the world with it shut. Then on the eighth day, he has the bris of Avram and it's opened. But then all of the temptations and difficulties and craziness of growing up and going through this world are coming like the plishtim to, God forbid, to close up again the bris of Kedusha. Hayasim labanim kedisa b'ramban ha-kadosh. Klal gadol b'chamay se'avis k'may. The Ramban says that everything that our ancestors went through was a similar burden, that the children will have to go through the same thing. The chafiras haberis and so on, which the Ramban discusses. Our ancestors were able to do something very remarkable for us. L'chol nefesh, for every single Jew, till the end of time. Ha'ivad Hashem, for every Jew who's seeking to serve God. So what happens to this Jew? He's trying to be a good Jew, and in the middle, all of a sudden, a crazy thing happens to him. He makes a terrible mistake. He gets involved in the wrong thing, and that foreskin of the plishtim begins to cover up his heart, his neshama. He can't serve God. He can't daven. He can't learn. He can't keep mitzvahs. He feels himself being taken in by that impurity. And he's so upset because he says, I can't believe it. It was going well. I'm Amish, you know, like Avraham Avinu, there was such good excavation that was taking place. It was going great. I was really doing well. And all of a sudden, the plishtim cover up the bris. She says, she's damal lefamim, therefore, when this happens to a Jew, that you're in the midst of serving Hashem, and you get involved in something you shouldn't. And as a result of that, you feel that everything is closed, and you feel that the bris is finished in your life. You think, yes, the Jewish people are eternal people, but unfortunately, I'm not going to be there to witness that. I'm not going to be included in that because I've been stopped along the way. Because I'm finished. My river has dried up. My waters are unfaithful. And the proof is, I've done these averus and so on, particularly when it comes to averus, God forbid, that are connected to that part of the body, that are connected to the bris, to the kedushas of bris. So this person feels it's all finished. God forbid, he goes through this period where he feels that he can't serve Hashem, can't daven, can't do anything. That's why at the end of Chumash, that's why you see how the Torah speaks about not only the part of that part of the body, but the heart that has to be circumcised, right? Umaltim is orlas levavchem. Orlas levavchem, the heart has a covering. And circumcising the heart, the kedushas habris, and has to do with there's a bris of speech, the mouth that can't daven is opened. All of this is one thing. Says, therefore, no Jew should ever give up hope. Even when he goes through this period where everything seems to be closed, you shouldn't give up hope. You must know that this Yerida, this time of being closed in that you're going through, is only a time to gather more and more energy, more strength, more kolach. Just like the well, where the water is, something is happening to beneath the surface and the water is gathering force. Therefore, when you're going through this period of concealment, of difficulty, you should know that there's only Yerida, which is Letzarech Aliyah, that ultimately there's going to come greater energy and greater waters from this. L'man Yizgabe B'Kedush also, yes, it's Ace. It forces you, the greatest you... Very often in the life of a person, his greatest opportunity to become a tzaddik is davka after the moment of the greatest fall. And the person feels, I can't go on living this way. And during that time of feeling distant and of feeling disgusting, the kedusha gathers force, and the person is able to come to Hashem in the most remarkable way. That's why tshuva is referred to as water. As Chazal say, shifchi kamayim libech, pour your heart out like water. And Chazal say that mayim tshuva, water, means to repent. It means to return. Therefore, no matter what you're going through in life, strengthen your heart and serve Hashem. And Hashem will help you. And this is hinted at. This is all hinted at in the names that Yitzchak gave to the wells. In the beginning, he called the well Esek, which means what? It means contention. It means fighting. It means what? It means struggling against the plishtim. It means the war that a Jew has for his kedusha. The plishtim are trying to keep you away from holiness, and you're trying to connect to holiness. Therefore, the first well is called Esek, which means it means contending. It means fighting. It means being preoccupied with that struggle, with that battle. We know that these letters are interchangeable, Esek and Esek. Because the Rebbe says that certainly we know that at the beginning when one's seeking to serve Hashem, Esek Godelhu, it's a huge business to try to be a Jew. When you decide you want to be a good Jew, not stam if you want to just be a, you know, you want to just be a member of the synagogue and pay your dues and eat some cholent and say an occasional chadaydi. That the Yetzer Hara doesn't give you too much of a hard time with that stuff. But if you really want to be a tzaddik, you know, if you really want to be a tzaddik, right? It's much easier to sing Moses to the kids than to throw out a television from the house, no? It's a baldik imanus. I mean, to sing Moses to is okay. But then everybody likes that. And even to make a seder is not so bad. It's, even the people cracks, but that's okay. But if someone, when it comes dafka to the Indian of Kedusha Sabris, to Kedusha, you talk to people, if someone would get up in the shuls, and all the shuls, and people, imagine if start dashing about this Reb Leibel, Kedusha Sabris, you'd see how you'd lose the whole chevron. They'd run from that place. Because what are you talking about? You're supposed to talk about the Palestinians and about the Gore and Bush. And you're supposed to talk about the Jewish responsibility to furthering morality and mankind and all this stupidity, right? That's what you're supposed to talk about because people are not challenged by that. They'll hear a million speeches like that. It doesn't make a difference. They just go home and sing Moses Sur and everybody's fine. I don't have to be any better. I could be the same Jew. And I could talk in davening. I could have the same tumah watch and I could read the same books and I could do everything the same. But if someone comes along and tells you, Rabbi, you know, you're a descendant of Yitzchak Avinu, Kedushas Habris, you know, your side, you know, what you're looking at, what are you reading, what's your head, what are you polluting yourself with, what are your children exposed to, what's the matter with you? Look at your language, look at the way, what's the matter with you? So then, oh, that's already, we're talking about Kedusha, that's already a different subject. People don't want to hear that. People don't want to hear that. And that's what Reb Leibel is talking about. So he says, that's the milchama, that's the war. And that's a milchama gedor l'negedahib. And nobody likes to be in any war. Who wants to fight a war? Everybody likes to have things just nice. Well, nobody wants to be in war. Wars are painful. In wars, there are casualties. In a war, you might lose the war. And then if you lose the war, you're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to be, and who knows what to go through. So people don't like to fight wars. So people would like to remain complacent, and they'd like to continue feeling that they're doing what they can do, and they don't have to be involved in any big milchama, Hashemish milchama. That's exactly it. You're 100% right. Hashem is called a man of war, And in truth, that's what life is all about. The tachlis of being in this world is to fight wars. It's not, and I spoke about this a few weeks ago, it's not like you're a loser. The tachlis is to fight wars. People think that my tachlis in life is to be almei menuchas. Is everything should be just nice and sweet and beautiful and my tachlis is not. No, the tachlis is to fight wars. So Reb Leibel says that in the beginning, especially in the beginning, it's a big milchama. It's a big milchama that you're able to try. Try it. That's why you see that when it comes to things, wherever there's an Indian of Kedusha, You'll see it's the hardest thing in the world to do. It's the hardest thing in the world to do. Because there's the biggest milchama. The Yetzer Hara, this evil one, will let you get away with, you can wear tzitzis down to the floor, it doesn't bother him. You can wear tefillin that are 10 amas tall. You can wear big tefillin, and you could have long payas, you can go with the long, everything. But the second that there's up to something with Kedusha, then the Yetzer Hara says you can't. It's a big milchama. It's not for you. You can't fight this war. And the truth is that most people gave up on this a long time ago. That's why you talk about television, these things, people look at you like you're Meshuggah. What's the matter? You're from the Stone Age. Are you crazy? When you just stop and say to a Yid, are you an honest Jew? Do you really think that the Baruch Shalom wants us watching these things? You know, you look at the newspaper. We don't even think about it. If someone would say to you, "Why you're reading a New York Times? You're looking at a newspaper, New York Post." They think, "What are you? Some sort of a machine? You're a fanatic?" We're so lost that it doesn't even bother us that every single page is filled with tumah. It doesn't even bother us because there's not even a milchama. And if you talk about it, people will run you out of town because they think that you're crazy. It's like it doesn't. There's not because we're not even in the milchama. We're not even in the milchama. I was on the airplane, Motzei Shabbos, I sat next to such a wonderful, such an unbelievable sweet Jew. I had such honor talking to this guy. He was like this Yid, a skvera chassid, but like from 200 years ago. He's 23 years old. He went onto the plane, he has glasses like this thick, and he took them off. And he was walking onto the plane. I'm telling you, he sat like B'kedusha B'tahara. The way he conducted himself, and his tefillahs, and the way he did everything, and then I was talking to him, and you know, translating for him, and he wouldn't lift his eyes up. He wouldn't lift his eyes up. That there is such a person still. And if you take this person and put him in front of some major Orthodox congregation, they would laugh at him. They would mamish make fun of him. Alo yutzloch. What's the matter with you? You're never going to be matzliach in this world. How are you going to be successful? Lift up your head. Go to college. Get yourself a job. You know, it's not easy. Alo yutzloch. That there's still a Jew that has his eyes and that doesn't look in the wrong place. We think that we're such big. We're not warriors at all. We're b'chlal not warriors. He's not his guy. And he's saying it's a milchama. He says it's a milchama. So he tries to keep his eyes in the right place. But we're not even masik what that means. We don't even know what that means. So Reb Leibler says in the beginning, it's such a milchama. Omnam kshim is gabra odam b'avodos hakadoshu. When you continue with this avoida, when you continue. Even though sometimes you have, there are disruptions and the wellsprings of Avraham Avinu become closed. Zehurak, he says, that's only coming what? From this dirt, this uprising against you. Therefore the second well was called Sitna, which means what? The enemy that's coming up against you. Never, you don't give up hope, you continue. Despite these obstructions, you continue. Umavris kola hipuch legamre. You continue and you fight against all that opposes you. Oz nikra, finally you will come to a time in life that's called rechovos, which means expansiveness. The waters now go crazy. Ki hirchev Hashem lanu ufarina baritz. Now Hashem has opened us for us a wide place, ufarina baritz, and we can reproduce. We can bring more children of Kedusha, right, to continue the line of Avraham Avinu till the end of time. Ufarina Baritz. Hainu Shaposa Kerach Ahipuch Lagamre. Ufarina Baritz Mimela, we can give birth to more Jews. We can continue with the bris. We will multiply in the land. Hainu Shakedusha Hu Bispashtis Godel. That the Jewish people, Poru Vayishutsu Vayirbu, more and more and more, mamish, in an explosive way that the Jewish people will continue. V'yeshlo aliyah b'shleimus ezel v'yal misham be'er sheva, and that is the deeper meaning of from there he rose to the place that's called Be'er Sheva, the wellspring of Sheva, the covenant, the oath, Be'er Sheva. The whole Inyan of Chanukah, which I once spoke about, and this goes back already 7-8 years, in the beginning of the shul, the whole Inyan of Chanukah, you see that there was no longer prophecy. It was the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam describes this lachatzum lachatz godel, that we were under unbelievable pressure. The wellsprings of the Jewish people were being shut. We felt that we no longer were connected to Hashem. We were assimilating. We were so far from Kedusha. And that from there came, all of a sudden, there came Chashmanoyu Banov, from the mystery of the number 8. Chashmanoyu Banov, that came this Indian of the uprising of the Maccabim, of the Chashmanoi and his children, his sons, that because of the great pressure, because we were oppressed, because we were held back, because Kedusha was contained and there was no longer prophecy, we can no longer find expression for Kedusha. When finally came the miracle of Chanukah, it was Rabban B'yad Ma'atim. The few were able to conquer the many. Isn't that what he's talking about? When a little bit of water, when his thoughts didn't... So the few are able to conquer the many. And we see Davka, therefore, one of the things that the Greeks were most opposed to, of course, was Bris Milah. We understand why. What do they have against the Bris? The Kedushas HaBris, the sanctity of a Jewish body. The Kedushas HaBris. That they were opposed to that. And that's the only name of Yevonim Nikbetzu Alai, Azabi Mechashmonim. Ufartzu Chamis Migdolai. They tried to break through the wall of the Jewish people. But it came out just the opposite from them. Came out just the opposite. B'nei Bina Yemei Shmoina Kavu Shiru Nelnim, a yontiv of an explosive yontiv where light pierces through the darkness in the most amazing way. With the mystery of the number 8, where one jar of oil is able to go on and on and on because the bris of Avraham Avinu goes on and on and on and on. And that's the last yontiv the Jewish people have is Chanukah. It's the last yontiv. That yontiv has to last until the end of time. That was the end. Because the Yontif of Chanukah means that there is no darkness that can hold back the light of a Jew. It's not possible. it goes till the end of time. The kedusha of a Jew. That's va'ate hirchiv Hashem lonu farinu baris. That's the harchove. Va'ate hirchiv Hashem lonu farinu baris. That it can't be stopped. I'll tell you something funny that as an Yisrael. So I remind me, I'll tell this to the Olam, to the rest of the Olam, but it's a funny thing. So we were staying someplace on Shabbos, and there were these people there, Bali Tshuva, that said, they helped us with the apartment and so on. So they said that when she first came to Eretz Yisrael, so her Hebrew was very, very weak, and they were having some problems. They found they were in the apartment, they had some bugs, so they called an exterminator. So bugs, charakim, you know, means in Eretz Yisrael they have big jukim, right? Cockroach, charakim. So she didn't know the. She thought it's called charedim. Now listen, charedim, you know, means religious, means very religious Jews. So she calls up the exterminator and she says to the exterminator, listen, she says, I want you to know, I have a yeshli baya, yeshli charedim al hamirpeset. I have Orthodox Jews on my porch. So she thinks she's saying cockroaches. So he says, no, as much what's up, but like, what do you want me to do? So she says, I hate them. So he's not religious. He says, listen, I don't like them either, but, you know, you have to learn how to live with me. You know, you have to live with them. So she goes over, Yeshlam habe yiladim. There are a lot more of them. So he says, well, bliayin hara, okay, yadua haharidim, they have a lot of yiladim. So he says, so what do you want me? She says, I can't stand it. So he says, what do you want me to do? So she says, aniro tisha tavo laharogosam. Laharogosam, to come kill them. He says, Tish, listen, Verit, you know, I don't like the haridim either, but you know, it's very extreme to come laharogosam. What are you talking about? Are you crazy to kill? To come kill? You know, until finally he says, Lama laharog Yehudim, are you out of your mind to kill a Jew? What are you talking about? So, we were laughing about it. I had tremendous honor from it because I was thinking, Acher Vayne Shalom, Kain Yifru of a year, but all Jews should multiply and have Habe Yeladim. And there's no exterminator in the world that could ever stop it from happening. It will not happen, it will never happen. The Jewish people are Kayim Lenetzach Nefzachim. We should be Zoichim Mitzvah Hashem to see the Gula Hashem Varmitis Bekar of Mamish. The so now.